Oh, let's pray. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your presence, Lord. It's humbling, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness, Father. And Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord. Speak to us today, Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name. So we've been talking about finding your refuge. And we're just laying a foundation because there are some things that we're going to be talking about. And the Lord, I know he wants us to be clear on some things. He gives us clarity. So what is coming and how should we react to it? John 16:33, this is the King James. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And then here is John 16:33 again in the literal version. "I have spoken these things to you that you might have peace in me. You have distress in this world, but be encouraged. I have overcome the world." To understand what is coming, we must first understand where it comes from. True? When Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, and we see this in Luke 4:1, and Jesus being full of the Holy Ghost, this is when he was baptized, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. In Matthew, we see the purpose of Jesus being led into the wilderness or into the desert. Matthew 4:1 says, "Then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Through these scriptures, we must see that, I never thought about this. This was the first time that Jesus was confronted by the devil. When Jesus was baptized, all attention in the heavenlies was drawn to Jesus at the announcement of Jehovah when he said, in Matthew 3:17, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." It's like God made an announcement to the entire universe. The devil then became aware of the anointing on Jesus, and at this appointed time and in the desert, he tested Jesus. It was a mandate from the Spirit that he go and confront the devil. Jesus demonstrated in the desert the effectiveness of God's word as being a hedge that the devil could not stand up to. We've been talking about the hedge. And the Apostle Paul reminds us from his writings in Ephesians in chapter 6 that we are in a real conflict. But this conflict is a spiritual one. Jesus, just as Jesus stood up to the confrontation of the devil, by standing on the revelation of God's word, we must also be prepared to stand as he instructs us in Ephesians 6:11. Jesus had to use the word. Think about that. Even though he was the word, he still had to use the word. Ephesians 6:11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the strategies or the deceptions of the devil." Jesus, of course, knew who the devil was in the desert. But listen to this. But he did not make an issue. Nor did he make an issue of who he was. If you notice, that was the first thing that the devil tried to make an issue. If you are the Son of God, all right, which he was, but Jesus wasn't there to make that wasn't the issue. But the devil tried to make that an issue. And that's the first thing he did. If you are the Son of God, command the stone to be made bread. Instead, Jesus made the Word of God his focus. You know, Jesus could have said, "Come on, devil, you know who I am. Remember? I saw you like lightning fall from heaven. I was there." He didn't make an issue of who he was. We also must be spiritually prepared, not as man's wisdom dictates, but as we are instructed by the pure Word of God. And I use those words, the pure Word of God, because our Word in a lot of places have been contaminated. The Word of God has been made something that God didn't send it to be. That's why the church, for the most part, is in the condition that it's in, and this country is in the condition that it's in. First John 2:14, we have to remember this. "I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome that wicked one." 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." And 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "Thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my brethren, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." So the issue that we need to maintain, we have overcome. Jesus did what he was sent, he accomplished what he was sent to do. "For this purpose was the Son of God manifested, he would destroy the works," or he might destroy the works of the devil, and he did. And that word destroy means that he made them null and void, ill, effective. So there's no rain, there's no hold on you. So the issue is not so much that we have to stand on it. You know, let's not make who we are an issue. It's who Christ is and what he did. We revel in who we are in him. But you see, when we stand in God's presence and when the Lord blesses us like he did tonight, our focus is on him. "Lord, you're awesome. You're mighty. You're worthy. You're higher. There's nothing that compares to you." So I enjoyed this study because there's things that I did some word studies, and you know how I like to do word studies, that I hadn't done before. Real deep studies. And if you look at the top of page 5, so what is it that we will face? Well, we know, you know, we've heard this over and over again, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We've heard that over and over and over. But you know what? But I never really dug into what does all that mean? It's true, we are in a spiritual battle, it's spiritual forces. But I took an opportunity and I began to dig. What is it that we will face? The battle is never against what you see. The things that are going on in this country at this point in time are not, what's behind it is not what you see, what you don't see. So let's look at this. But against principalities. So what are principalities? Well, we see the Strong's number G746. Beginning, origin, the person or thing that commences, the first person or thing in a series, a leader, that by which anything begins to be, the origin, the active cause, the extremity of a thing, the corners of a sail, the first place, principality, rule, majesty of angels and demons. Those, and so put things in a nutshell, those who have held the highest seats of power since the most ancient times. Principalities. We can reference Daniel when he was praying and he had a vision, and he was praying to receive the answer to the vision, and it took 21 days for the answer to come to him. And when Gabriel finally came, he said, and this could be, he said, the prince of Grisha, I believe it was, or Persia, withstood him. That could have been a principality. Those who have held the highest seats of power since the most ancient times. Ruling, we know that there are fallen angels in this world still. I just quoted that in Daniel. And then Gabriel also said, now I've got to go because the prince of Grisha is coming. And Michael and I, we got to go war against him. Who would Michael, a powerful archangel, who would he have to battle? Who could be a battle to him? You know, those principalities. So we wrestle now, and that word wrestle doesn't mean like, you know, they're going to pick, you're putting a stranglehold on, you know, and you're wrestling. But what that means is it's contending against, opposing. You're standing in opposition. That is what we oppose. That's what it's against us and what we have to stand. When Jesus was confronted, what did he do? He opposed the devil. I stand against that. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That was his opposition. When the devil was trying to draw him out to stand on his sonship, to react on his sonship, he stayed behind the hedge. It's written. He did not make that an issue. And we've talked about that continually. Staying behind the hedge. Staying behind the hedge. And let's get a proper picture of that. It's not like you're cowering and hiding. But it means you're standing back, secure, and you're going, uh-uh-uh. I resist that temptation to come out. I don't have to battle you because you've already been defeated in the name of Jesus. Look at that time when Satan came and he tempted him, tried to get him to stand on his sonship, and he didn't. He never made it an issue. First thing, it's written. Stood behind the hedge. He didn't cower. He said, I know who I, you know, basically he was secure in who he was, and he didn't have anything to prove. It's written. Put it where it's at. The next thing is against powers. Strong's G1849, power of choice, liberty of doing as one pleases, leave or permission, physical and mental power, the ability or strength with which one is endued with. He either possesses or exercises the power of authority, influence, the right of privilege, power to rule or government, the power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed universally, authority over mankind, specifically power of judicial decisions, of authority to manage domestic affairs, mentonymically, I have no idea what that means, a thing subject to authority or rule, jurisdiction, one who possesses authority, a ruler, a human magistrate, the leading and more powerful among created beings, superior to man, spiritual potentates, a sign of the husband's authority over his wife, the veil with which proprietary women are required women to cover herself, sign of regal authority, a crown. Basically, when we look at in the context of what Paul is writing about, those who have received license to do whatever they want to do, wherever they want to do it, roaming spirits who have been given delegated authority by arch or principalities. So these are spirits who just, and we know that there's spirits going around influencing and trying to demonize and to hurt and to harm, and you know, they're just sent out. Powers. Rulers, it says. G2888. Like a world ruler. Now, I took a lot of time to look into this. This Greek word is made of two Greek words, which we must examine to get the most accurate meaning. Probably, and so, as we look in that first, under 288, we see G289 and 2902. So let's look at that. 2889. Orderly arrangement, ruler. Now, if you look at the definition and the one that makes the most, you can make most sense of, cosmocrator. Cosmocrator. So the first part is cosmos. Cosmos is universe. Orderly, an orderly arrangement, a decoration by implication, the world, or in a wide or narrow sense, including its inhabitant. God created the world, the cosmos. The cosmos is the universe, the sun, everything that creates a system. Our system is navigated or is governed by what? The sun and the moon, night and day, hours. It's an orderly arrangement. The planets rotate, you know, everything goes around the sun. The sun is the center. It's an orderly arrangement. Cosmos. This is used to describe our universe and its order and its arrangement. Now, 2902, so this is the second part of that word for rulers, which is krateo, to use strength. Now, okay, so one word is talking about order, bringing it into arrangement. Now, this is to use strength, that is to seize, to retain, to hold, to keep, lay hold, to obtain, to retake, to take. A military term which gives the idea of taking something by force and holding onto it. So you have an orderly arrangement, and then you have a military force coming in and take over. So when you put those two together, what do you get? So when you combine these two Greek words, we see this. Rulers are agents or soldiers that are sent into the world to take control of it and to hold it. The world being everything and everything in it, to bring under submission or dominate it so it adheres to the will of the headmaster. That's what the word rulers means when it's that compound word. Rulers, controllers, they're controlling. The rulers want to bring you and bring you into submission, to bring you in line. Like cattle. Like a herd. To herd you in. Spiritual wickedness. Another thing that is what we face. The Thayer's definition, this is G4189, depravity, iniquity, wickedness, malice, evil purpose, and desire. It's taken from 4190. And listen to this. Hurtful, that is evil. Properly to affect or influence, thus differing from 2556, which refers rather it to essential character as well as from 45, but which indicates degeneracy from original virtue. Calamitous, ill, diseased, morally culpable, that is derelict, vicious, mischief, malice, guilt, the devil, sinners, bad. So basically, lewd, malicious, wickedness. So basically, and also now, wickedness in high places. Let's put that together. The word high places is G2032, existing in heaven, things that take place in heaven, the heavenly regions, heaven itself, abode of God and angels, lower heavens of the stars, heavens of the clouds, the heavenly temple or sanctuary. But look at this one, of heavenly origin or nature. Where did the fallen angels come from? Where? Heaven. They had a heavenly origin, same as Lucifer. This represents the overall character. So spiritual wickedness in high places is not a separate, they're not separate entities. It's bringing together what it all means. Represents the overall character of the fallen angels who are directing the demonic spirits and the work of Satan. The Apostle Paul puts it all in the definitions above into one category and designates where it comes from. So the end result of all of this is we deal with spiritual wickedness, malicious, things that want to hurt you in a bad way, to do harm. This is what we're up against. And I'm going to stop here. The next section that we're going to go into is, so what is coming? As we started out, this whole thing is, so what's coming and how shall we react to it? Well, what is it that we'll face? We just went over that. And what is coming?
I got a
question. Yes, sir.
Now in the spiritual realm, is that going on at the same time that Earth time is going on? Or is that something that's done and over with already?